Jenna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Welcome to Happy Hour with lawyer and TV personality Jonna Spilbor and author and inspirational speaker Carol Pesci. Happy Hour comes your way every Sunday morning at this time with life advice, real conversations, and awesome interviews with self-help heavy hitters, best-selling authors, celebrities, and more. Would you like to maybe live better, stress less, and laugh more? Then you've come to the right place.
Good morning and welcome to Happy Hour here. Again, it is Jonna Spilbor, it is Carol Pesci, it is myself. They call me Frankenberry, by the way. And we're back for another show. And ladies, I hope everything is good in Jonna Spilbor and Carol Pesci land.
Things are good. And before I talk about this week's guest, I need to share with you guys some feedback I got about last week's guest.
Okay.
We had on the show, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago, Dr. John McGrail, who we love. He's a clinical hypnotherapist. Love the guy. He's brilliant. He's kind. He's extremely effective with what he does. And we happened to rerun his show last week. As you know, we did a new first segment and third segment and reran his interview. And I got an amazing email from him thanking us for rerunning the show, that someone who, quote unquote, never listens to the radio heard the show, heard the interview, have a teenage child who deals with debilitating phobias. Privacy is there. I have no idea who this person is or who the child is. And the parent reached out and is going to be working with Dr. John. And he said, as a result of you having me on your show, that child is going to get their life back. And the reason we wanted to start doing this show many years ago is really bring good, helpful content to our listeners.
Yeah, well, and it's not only that, it's the magic of the universe.
Yes.
That everything aligns so that we replayed hit. Like, we had a million people we could have replayed.
Right.
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 Exactly.
And chose that show. And that was just the universe putting everything in motion because somebody knew that this needed to happen. And I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And bravo, Frankenberry. I think it was your suggestion to rerun his show. So,
well, don't give me credit on that. I mean, that was more just me, you know, throwing darts at a guest board.
Frankenberry,
you think the universe is getting to you?
He's the least woo-woo of all of us, and he caused it.
I know.
Yes, okay, I am definitely the least woo-woo. Yeah,
least woo-woo, the anti-woo-woo. So this week we have coming up after the break, Stephanie Rabilio. She is the author of Unpack Your Bags. Frankenberry, it's not a very long subhead. Your self-help guide to inner peace. She empowers individuals on their journey to inner peace. She's a licensed clinical social worker. She holds a master's degree in social work. She's got over a decade experience in child welfare, trauma, mental health, and substance use. And she's going to be talking to us about her latest book and how we're all unknowingly, we actually kind of touched on this last week, carrying around baggage from years ago, from things you might not think didn't traumatize you, but they're affecting you as an adult. So looking forward to talking with her when we come back from the break later.
Okay. And then just to let you know, the not overly long subhead, it is still a subhead. I just want to have a guest on the show who just has a book with one freaking title.
Well, when it comes to nonfiction books, you're almost always going to have that.
Yeah. You nonfiction people are grumble, grumble, grumble.
Oh, grumble, my grumble.
God. Frankenberry.
He's turning to our side, Jonna. He's making the turn.
No, I think you guys are you guys are just hoping for that. That's all. You're doing that whole visualization crap that you two talk about.
I swear, like within the last 6 months, twice, maybe three times on your own, you used the word universe. So
I use the word universe all the time, and usually it's the universe doing something like making me yank my back a couple of weeks before I'm moving. That's what I'm talking about, the universe. I'm talking about the universe having a really crappy sense of humor. That's what I'm talking about. But that is a great story, and that it is nice to know that not only do we now have a seventh listener, that the show can reach out to some folks and actually do some good. And Dr. John will certainly be of help to that family.
And how many times do you think something like this happens? How many times do you think something like this happens and we don't get an email, right? It could happen more often than this one time. And people just don't tell us.
Right. It certainly could. And that's something that we just have to keep continuing to tell ourselves.
Yeah. Yes. I often tell myself a lot of things that nobody else would ever tell me.
I tell myself the world needs me all the time.
We need you, Frankenberry.
Yeah.
That's only because I'm a good button pusher back on this end. Yeah.
A literal button pusher, right? Without your button pushing, we would not have a show. You know how to push the buttons to make us sound good.
That's right. I know how to push some other buttons, too. That's why I'm single.
So I had a button push this week.
Oh, good.
You had a what?
I had a button push this week.
Here we go.
It never happened.
I was just going to say something figured out a way to upset John Spillbore.
But, I think what has happened previously is, and I think it's happened to all of us. Have you ever been like kind of one thing after another sort of gets on your nerves until finally something very, very small will make you like your head pop off?
Oh, yeah.
That never happens ever. Never, ever.
Yes, that last straw situation. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I kind of had something like that, but it actually started out good and then ended up with a head popping off situation. I just wanted to share it with you because I love embarrassing myself on the radio.
and we love empowering you to do so.
No. But first, before I launch into this little story, I just want the world to know that as we are talking here today, I am 99% sure that my little feral mama cat is giving birth to litter number 3 in the last 11 months. I'm pretty sure that is happening as we speak.
Do you have a trap outside to get her?
So I have a plan. I have 2 traps. This time it's really going to happen. But you see, I can't trap her now for another 8 weeks because that's when she'll wean them, however many she has this time. That's when she'll wean them off.
Right.
You are in a dangerous cycle.
I am in a terrible 3 litters in 11 months. That's a lot of little ferals.
That's a promiscuous kitty.
I know.
But it's also a kitty that is comfortable enough to know that, hey, we got a mom.
Yeah.
We got a mom with nice hair. She's going to help us.
So, John, no, I have a serious question. So you wouldn't want to trap her now while she's pregnant, because then she would need to be contained with her kittens and she's feral and she'd be miserable and wild?
No, well, she's not. I'm sure that she has had, I'm not sure. She's going to be having these kittens anytime now.
So she could have already birthed them and you don't want to separate her.
And she's going to nurse. And when I contacted the vet about a month ago and I said, here's the situation, pregnant kitty, she's about a month along, can I trap her, bring her in and have a little, fix her, even though she's already pregnant, and they said we won't do it. So I said, okay, there's the universe telling me again, hey, what's another 6, 8, 10 cats living under my bed? Okay. So, but that's not what I want to complain about. So I want to actually, I have a public service announcement. That's what this is going to end up being. So I'm going to turn something negative into a positive.
All right.
Okay. All right. So it all started. It was a dark and stormy night. No, I'm just kidding. So I was in court last week, and I did not bump into a person that I know, but a person that I know was also in court. And after a couple days after court, this person that I know that I didn't see but saw me contacted me and was like, oh, my God, I saw you, but you didn't see me. I was across court, blah, blah, blah. I just got to tell you that I loved your shoes and you have to tell me where you got them. Now, that sounds nice enough, right?
Okay. Yeah.
So, and as a matter of fact, I know what shoes I had on and I'm searching in my memory bank to tell her where I got the shoes when it dawned on me that I got the shoes from yet another 3 o'clock in the morning Facebook ad. Now, why is that a problem? Well, as I'm thinking about where to tell her to go to find these shoes, it occurs to me that because I bought them at 3 o'clock in the morning from a Facebook ad, I don't know. Like, there's no way. They're not even, when Facebook targets me. And guys, they target me. I am a target of Facebook.
Of course you are. All you had to do was click on an ad once.
That's it. When they target me, it's not like they're targeting me for a store like a Macy's or a Nordstrom. No, no, no. It's these weird, obscure stores or name brands I have never, ever heard of. But they target me. I'm in a trance. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. My credit card information is saved in the computer, and it's a recipe for disaster. But I happen to like these shoes that I bought off Facebook, and I'm trying to search my brain to tell her how she can find them. And I decide that I simply can't. And I got to fess up to her. I'm like, you know what? I bought them all in a trance off a Facebook ad. And I can't even help you by letting you know where to go get them. So then later on that day, I just started thinking about how often I do that. I'm like, you know, I buy a lot of stuff in a trance from Facebook. And half the time when it arrives 3 months later with nothing but like hieroglyphics on the package. There's no receipt. Like I've gotten things. I have gotten things, you guys, that I have ordered in a trance that when I finally do get it and I don't like it, it's impossible to send those things back because there's no receipt. You can't go back in Facebook and figure out where you got it from. And frankly, I think that when you put them on a credit card, I buy a pair of shoes. On the credit card, it's going to be like Humpty Dumpty sat on a wall. Like there's no connection. Like I can't even put it together, like from column A to column B and figure out where I sent my money. And
I think we need an intervention, Frankenberry.
Yeah, seriously.
Johnny, you have purchased things that you didn't even know what they did when you got them.
Exactly. Yeah. I couldn't figure out. Like I bought like a spider web cleaner. I'm like, how does this work? And why would I ever clean my own spider web?
You know what I think about? Have you seen the latest Progressive commercial with Flo's sister, where she's on the bike, the stationary bike?
Yeah, going real slow.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Create what? And what's the one box thing where Flo looks and goes, "Make your own lake? Really?
Yeah. Oh, make your own lake kit? Yeah, yeah.
Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah, and she's like filing her nails and chewing gum. Yeah, that's kind of like me. And if I'm really going to embarrass myself, another recent purchase that showed up in three different deliveries that I can't return because there's no freaking receipt. And I bought them in multiple colors and multiple sizes. But I got like a dozen t-shirts. Now, granted, in my 3 a.m. stupor, I must have had a plan. I must have been like, I'm going to buy, okay, so what they're t-shirts. I'm going to buy these t-shirts with this saying on them, and I'm going to give them out to every woman that I know. Like, that must have been going through my head when I was in my trance. But then I got all these t-shirts in three different deliveries, and the t-shirts say, and this is a nice saying, the t-shirts say, if you can't be kind, be quiet. Right? Now, that's kind of a cute saying. But I don't even like that. I'm like, you know what? Sometimes you don't want to be kind. Why do I got to be quiet if I can't be? I don't even like this.
Jonna, that line is the antithesis of the Jonna Spillboard.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I know. I purchased it in a trance at 3 o'clock in the morning. I can't return. I don't even know what to do with them.
And you got
now.
Like 10 of them?
I got like a dozen of them.
Oh, look, I'm sure there's plenty of your cousins out there who don't ascribe to the Jonna Spillboard world of, you know, dealing interpersonal relationships with, if you can't be nice, get in their face. I'm sure some of your cousins would probably like the t-shirt.
True. But as me, I cannot hand a person that t-shirt and be like, here, I thought of you when I bought 12 of these at 3 o'clock in the morning from a Facebook. I'd have to put them in the middle of the floor and go, oh, what are these? Anybody want one? I don't know what they are.
Did you get a pink one?
Nope. There's purple. There's red. There's black. It's crazy. Like I was thinking of just opening an Etsy shop and selling them for 5 cents. I don't even, like, I'll pay you. Take these things off my hands since I can't return them.
Jonna,
you need an Etsy shop and it would be Jonna's secondhand new items.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Jonna's new old items.
You need to wear one of those t-shirts just for the irony and see if anybody gets it.
But guys, but it didn't stop there because then I started going down this rabbit hole. And I went down this rabbit hole and it turns out, now here's something that I can identify. I bought something else at 3 a.m. in a trance from Facebook. And it was, you know how Cindy Crawford has a skincare line that made out of like cantaloupe. You know what
Frankenberry knows all about it.
Oh, yeah, sure. I actually bought some of that as well that came in three different shipments.
You two are regular riots. Well, Cindy Crawford has now moved into the hair space. And so at 3 a.m. on Facebook, I bought her new shampoo and conditioner line, right? So now I can identify this, but I get it. And when I get it, I paid like $50. They were travel sizes. Travel sizes.
Of course they were.
But wait, it gets worse. So now I got these travel sizes. Okay, fine. And like a couple weeks goes by and I get a postcard. I get a postcard in the mailbox. And the postcard says, and I quote almost, it says, oh, thanks for buying Cindy Crawford's hair stuff. Just so you know, we're going to be sending you a regular size on the regular for like $99 every month because you have subscribed.
Holy crap.
Thank you very much. Right. And so I'm looking at the postcard and I'm like, there's no way I subscribed. There's no way I subscribed. And here is my public service announcement. So I called them up because as you can now see, this was the last straw. And I blew a gasket. I blew a gasket. And the poor lady on the phone, her job, so they knew this was going to happen. Her job was to talk me out of saying no to this subscription. That was her job. And it literally took me, because I timed it, 8 minutes to get off the phone. 8 minutes to cancel a subscription that I did not subscribe to.
Now, how many pages is your credit card bill?
I don't look.
You're probably better off that way.
I know.
One of these days, you're going to go into your office, you're going to clean up, you're going to unpack all your bags with your bills in it, and you're going to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I spent all this.
Yeah, but
so good. We need a sound effect.
But you know what, Carol? I'm in the same boat as Jonna, and I did something similar at Adams last week. I went in and I went to their hot bar, and I made the mistake of shopping while I was hungry, and I got three containers worth of stuff, and I got to the checkout, and I said to the young lady there, I said, do me a favor. And she said, what's that? I said, I do not want you to tell me what my total is, and don't give me the receipt. Don't even ask me if I want it.
I still have a jar of SpaghettiOs in my pantry from shopping hungry.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right.
Yes.
Guys, I think that wraps it up. I dropped a Sagu. I don't know if you both picked it up.
I got it.
Blew right by me, but go ahead.
Yep. She's going to go through her office, unpack her bags. Yeah, there we go. Okay. Yeah. So coming up after the break, We'll be talking to Stephanie Robilio. She is the author of Unpack Your Bags. And the subhead is Your Self-Help Guide to Inner Peace. She's a licensed clinical therapist and licensed clinical social worker. And she's going to talk to us about getting rid of some of that emotional baggage that we hang on to.
All right. That's what is on the way next. Stephanie Robilio, looking forward to welcome her to the show. And we will be right back. Jonna Spielborg, Carol Pesci. It is myself. And you are listening to Happy Hour.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Live better, laugh harder. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour, everyone. It's Jonna Spielborg. It is Carol Pesci. It is myself. And it is time now to get to our guest for today. And we've talked a couple of times about her brand new book in our first segment. But Carol, please do the introductions of Stephanie Robilio.
Very much looking forward to talking with Stephanie. She is a licensed clinical social worker. She's got a master's degree in social work. She's got over a decade of experience in child welfare, trauma, mental health, and substance abuse. She's a lifelong learner. She currently serves as a chief clinical officer at Agape Behavioral Healthcare, which sounds really cool and interesting. She's the founder of Mindful Living. She has created a supportive community dedicated to empowering individuals to become the healthiest, happiest version of themselves, right up our alley. And she's here to talk to us today about her latest book, Unpack Your Bags, Your Self-Help Guide to Inner Peace. Stephanie, welcome to our show.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm grateful to be here.
So we would love to start, if you could tell us the backstory. What made you, and this is not your first book, you've written a number of books. This is, what made you want to give life to this book? What's important about it to you?
You know, what made me wanted to give life to this book is I can remember being a 24-year-old girl who felt so lost, so broken, and I was carrying so much emotional weight from my past. And looking back in that moment, I didn't know that I was carrying emotional weight, right? When you're in it, you can't see it. But here I am a decade later, and I truly feel like it is my responsibility to share the things that I've learned throughout my own personal journey of self-discovery and healing. And so I take everything from my personal and professional experience and I pull out the gems and I share it in the book of Unpack Your Bags. And it's exactly as it sounds, Unpack Your Bags. So what that means is identify the weight from your past that you're carrying, whether it be from going through a divorce, a bad breakup, grief, financial hardship, employment loss, whatever it might be that manifested as shame, guilt, fear, stress, anxiety, depression. And I offer all the tools needed to unpack that emotional bag so that the person can really get on the path of inner peace. And that's something that I think is so important to highlight. It is truly my belief that every person is worthy and deserving of inner peace. But sometimes we don't know what that means or how to get there. And that's what this book is about. It's a roadmap there.
Would you say, Stephanie, in your experience, because not only have you experienced the unpacking of your own bags or baggage, but in your professional work as a social worker, are we all to varying degrees carrying baggage?
Absolutely. Absolutely. One thing that has been a pattern throughout my many years of professional experience is when I ask individuals what it is that they're struggling with, they name something from their past. I feel angry because of this, or I'm still mad because this happened, or I'm still stuck in resentment because 10 years ago. Very, very rarely has a person ever said to me, I feel disappointed because just now this happened, right? It's not present. It's always something about the past, or it's the anxiety and the unknown of the future. And that's really what sparked my interest, is understanding that most people are contributing to their own suffering and they're not even aware of it, because nobody told us that our life is in the now. Our life is in the now, but people are really stuck either in the past or worrying about the future. And then, of course, it makes sense why most of the world is suffering with depression and anxiety, because we're living in a time and space that's not now.
Stephanie, so is one of your first pieces of advice and guidance is to help people practice presence?
Absolutely. Mindfulness. I think, in my opinion, mindfulness is truly the answer. Now, it's not going to solve every problem. I think that we still have to learn how to navigate the difficulties of life and the obstacles. But if a person can truly stay committed to being present, more often than not, you will find the present moment is the most generous moment. And all is well now. All is well now. And I think that's true for a lot of people. If you actually allow yourself to be present, is there any reason to feel stressed now, anxiety now, resentment now? More often than not, the answer is going to be no.
Well, wait, Stephanie, this is Jonna. So I have two questions, but you just touched on something. So with what you just said, then isn't it, it's possible, I suppose, that sometimes the thing in the moment, the now thing could be the thing that's pissing you off or upsetting you, right?
Like it could be. So
then how do you get, so forget the past for a moment. If the now, the thing in the now is upsetting you, then there must also be a technique for getting past that when it is fresh, like it's a fresh thing that's upsetting you.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought that up, because I think it's important that every person understands it's normal and natural to be struggling or to be upset or to be angry, right? This is part of our normal, natural human experience. But I think what matters is when, let's say there's something currently happening that is giving you a reason to be upset. Are you able to maintain awareness and not give it too much energy? Because wherever you place that energy, then we know that we give life to that. And a lot of times something may happen that bothers us, but is it really the thing that's causing us to be bothered? Or is it our internal narrative that we have about the thing, right?
Or a trigger, right? A trigger within ourselves from trauma.
Correct. Right. Absolutely. Maybe somebody says something and you have an emotional reaction. It's really not what they said, but it reminded you of that time that your mom or your husband or your whoever.
See, that's the interesting thing, because I think a lot of people, and when I say a lot of people, I definitely mean me, probably have.
Are you asking for a friend?
I love the honesty.
These childhood, like I think I had a wonderful childhood, but I'm sure that there were some childhood trauma, because we've all had it, that occurred, and we don't even realize that that is shaping our behavior now. And I think there's a chasm there. And you have to be really mindful in order to kind of go back in your own way back machine and try to pull out of you what it is that's really bothering you when you order what you think is a full size bottle of shampoo from a Facebook ad and it turns out to be.
I think too, you know, a lot of times, to speak to your point, people classify trauma as some serious injury or some major sexual assault or something truly, really severe. And yes, those are traumatic things, but trauma is also the things that didn't happen for us. Does that make sense? It's not always what happened to us. It's what didn't happen for us.
Or it, depending on, it could have been something that you don't even realize affected you. You would think that's not that big of a deal. And I actually have a personal story to share on that point. Now, and it involves my mom. My mom is awesome. Was a wonderful mom as a child, a wonderful mom as an adult, amazing human being. But I went through a period of time. I wrote a book about happiness, my first book. And then here on the personal he's coming to learn about happiness. And I was like thinking being happy meant not allowing myself to experience sadness. So the more I experienced sadness, I would push it down, push it away. Speaking of giving a lot of energy to it, and not clinically diagnosed, but quite sure I worked myself into a depression by denying myself the permission and space to feel sadness. So when I did some excavating, when I did some unpacking of my own bags, I recalled a memory from childhood where I was crying and either complaining to my mother or asking for something or whatever. And she said to me, turn it off, and then I'll listen to you. So, and again, wonderful mother, I'm not beating her up at all, but I came to the conclusion that I wouldn't be heard if I was sad and it wasn't okay to be sad, and carried that through to adulthood.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for sharing
that. And
that
wasn't traumatic. She was doing, I think, practicing good parenting.
Yeah.
But that's how I interpreted it.
Exactly. But see, I love that you used the word, that's how you interpreted it, because that's really what trauma is. It's not necessarily the event. It's the internal narrative that one has as a result of the event, right? It's the story that we create.
So you just gave me goosebumps. You just gave me goosebumps. That was so well said.
It's the story we create. And, you know, the stories always make sense. And in a lot of ways, the stories are what keep us safe, and it's part of our survival and it's part of our conditioning. But you're exactly right. If that's how you grow up, even though your mom's intentions, I'm sure, were coming from a place of love and purity, but the narrative that you came up with as a result, you could see how it's kept you from maybe being able to allow sadness, which again is a very natural emotion. And yes, you can be happy and sad at the same time, right? Feelings can coexist.
Yeah, it just, and it was enlightening for me, and it took me far too long, I think, to figure it out, but I'm glad that at least that I did. And I guess that would lead to my next question and kind of what Jonna was talking about a moment or two ago. I guess the first step is the awareness of what that baggage is, of what that trauma is, and how is it still, how are we still carrying it around, that baggage, and how do we unpack it? And it's helpful if it's clear to us what that is. But how do you help someone? And maybe you cover this. I've started your book. I'm loving it. I haven't finished it yet. If someone just kind of, they're acting out in ways, they have certain behaviors or habits they would wish to change, but they don't really know what the source of that. How do you go back and figure that out? What was that thing that happened to you or you experienced, or the interpretation? How do you unpack that if you're not sure?
Yeah, well, I think in some situations, it's not always necessary to go back and find the source, because the thing with our body is that, in my opinion, from the work that I do, our body is so brilliant. And if we can't recall an event, there's a reason why we can't recall it.
Oh, wow.
That's the body's way of saying it's not safe for you to remember this. And because my job is to keep you safe, I'm not going to allow you to recall it.
Wow. That's amazing. Yeah.
Stephanie, does it also, I'm really good at asking the stupid questions, but while you're speaking, I'm just kind of thinking, like, is baggage, when we say baggage, right, we're talking about trauma that happens in the past. And I think that your baggage will color your behavior such that, like, let's say you have a piece of baggage from something that happened when you were 8 years old. Well, then something else similar happens when you're 12 and you collect a very similar piece of baggage. It's like the whole designer line, because you keep repeating the same things that brings that baggage to you. And then once you figure out what that piece of baggage is, you could dump a whole lot of it in one fell swoop because it's all the same baggage. Yes. Am I crazy?
No, you're not crazy. You're not crazy at all. That's exactly right. And what happens is we will always seek what's familiar. And so let's say a person has a childhood where there was a lot of pain and hurt, then it only makes sense as a young adult and even an adult that a person will seek out pain and hurt because it's familiar. Wow. And the body wants to stay in the familiar. Why? Because if something is familiar, that means we can predict it. And if I can predict it, that means I'm safe. Everything goes back to being safe because we've been designed or created for survival. But I think that's part of the journey of transformation and really awakening. I talk about it in the book in chapter one, how you go from being on autopilot to aware, from the autopilot self to the aware self. And I think that's really what it means, is that we wake up and realize that we have been in survival. But what's the difference between a perceived threat and a real threat? The only way to know the difference is if you're practicing being aware in the moment. Does that make sense?
Oh my God, completely. I'm psychoanalyzing myself on the radio show as we speak. Like I just had an aha moment. This is fantastic. Yes, it does make sense. But I didn't realize until just, and you're so right, that it is about safety. Like, we're all hardwired, whether you're human or not, you're hardwired to stay alive.
Yes. And I want to share this with you because I think this really puts it in perspective for people. So think about an animal. If there's a little bunny who's sitting there eating grass and all of a sudden the bunny sees a lion, the bunny instantly runs, mm-hmm. right? Now, when the bunny gets to the next field, if the bunny scans the environment and no longer sees the lion, bunny is not thinking about the lion. Bunny goes back to eating grass. Right. That's because the survival system of an animal is turned on automatically and turned off automatically. Humans, on the other hand, our system is turned on automatically. The difference is it's not turned off automatically. I think that's what makes us very unique. So what happens is if we experience one triggering event as a child or multiple, and we've activated our fight, flight, freeze, fawn, right? Our trauma response, it goes on automatically. But what happens is next thing you know, let's say you had a battery relationship with your father growing up, and now you seek out unhealthy men. Well, it's really for no other reason other than your system was activated as a child and it didn't go off automatically.
So how do we shut that off?
You have to, one, become aware. Two, practice acceptance of what you can't control. Three, hold yourself accountable, which means how are you contributing to your own pain and suffering today? And then four, stay in action, right? Everything is about action, but we can't get into action if we aren't aware.
Wow.
We can't get into action if we aren't aware.
And how do you teach people to accept? Because I think that's probably so what you just described are like four A's.
Yes, I call it the magic four.
And acceptance is a tough one, I think, for a lot of people. I think that's probably the toughest one of all the A's. That takes a little practice.
It does take a little practice. And I think, you know, it's the reason the acceptance is so hard is because if we're all honest with each other, we all want to be in control. Because again, if we're in control, we feel safe. But I think part of the surrender process and acceptance process is really understanding the moment you acknowledge you can't change or control something actually means you're in control, because now you're controlling your response to what's outside of your control. And there's no place that's more empowering than that.
Absolutely.
To know that you have the ability to change the world within you. That's our power. That's where our power lies, within self.
We have talked about this exact topic so many times, Stephanie, that we don't necessarily get to dictate or control what happens around us. But there's that magical, I call it the magical gap, that moment of pause where you get to look at what's happening and say, how do I choose to respond to this? And do I want to choose to respond to this in such a way that will get me closer to or further away from what I want? And
it's
that's the PowerPoint.
I love that. The magical pause. That's exactly it, right? Because again, like I mentioned, the going from the autopilot self to the aware self, the only way to do that is to give yourself, as you call it, the magical pause. You need that stop moment, that pause moment, to be able to consciously choose how you want to respond to a person, place, thing, or situation.
And that is the life-changing moment. That's where the growth happens. It really
And that's where really she, the presence, right?
Yes.
That's the part of being present. You're present to what's happening. You're present to how you're processing it. And you're present to the choice you make in response to it.
That's exactly right.
And you can literally feel lighter when you can really honestly feel lighter. Like you really are dumping your baggage when you have one of those moments.
Yeah, because it's like it's that aha moment of just like, wow, I don't have to carry weight. You know, I always use the example. Imagine if right now I said, hey, everybody, I want you to put this backpack on your back. And within this backpack, there's loads of rocks in it. And each rock represents your shame, your guilt, your fear, your stress, your this, your that. I mean, how long are you actually going to go through your day carrying it? Not very long. Why? Because it would weigh you down. You would feel the burden of the weight you're carrying. And I think the reason we as people struggle to let go of our emotional weight is we can't see it, but we can feel it. It shows up in the form of tension in our neck, our back, poor sleep, interrupted appetite, headaches, fights with your loved ones, irritability, agitation. Like that's the weight. And I think our responsibility is to learn to listen to our body and ask our bodies, what do you most need? How can I support you? What do I need to release so you can feel a little bit better right now? Because we live in a world where we have completely normalized stress and suffering. And I believe strongly it is not normal to suffer and feel stress. Our birthright is joy. That's our birthright. But we have been conditioned to go so far away from joy. And that's why it feels odd to be happy sometimes, because we're so used to being weighed down.
And sometimes guilty, Stephanie, right? Like, again, this is something that has occurred to me that I wonder, and in your professional experience, I would love your opinion, that when children are little and they're giggling and they're having a ball, but maybe they're really not doing what they're supposed to be doing, then they get in trouble. And again, the parent is trying to do good parenting, but we learn that we'll get punished for being joyful.
You're right. That's exactly it. I refer to that as we've been conditioned with this moralistic approach, which means if a little kid does good, they're high-fived and rewarded. And then if they do bad, whatever that means, then they're punished. They sit in timeout. They don't get ice cream after dinner. And so from a very young age, we're taught that you better follow the rules and you better do good and you better stay in this box, because if not, you'll be punished for it. And so, yes, of course, parenting requires discipline and all that. That makes sense. But we have to look at, what does that teach us, right? What beliefs do we learn as a result? You know, you shared something earlier about what you learned from your mom, and it's the same thing. What beliefs do we learn as a result of how we're being parented? And this is not to put any blame or shame on parents, but most problems, if not all, are a result of parenting. It's how we were raised. And, you know, generational trauma is a very real thing. But I think that, you know, it's also a beautiful thing, because those of us who wake up to it are the ones who change it for the next generations to come. But everything that we do to children, starting really, it's really in the womb, believe it or not, but it has an impact on who we become 100%.
And again, not to point the finger of blame, there's no parent that wakes up in the morning and is like, oh, what can I do to screw up my kid today? right. You know, because they're carrying their own baggage.
That's right.
Right. Oh, so to interrupt that pattern, Stephanie, I am so glad you took the time to talk with us today. We could really go on. I cannot wait to read the rest of your book. We're wrapping up here with Stephanie Rabilio, author of multiple books. Her latest is Unpack Your Bags, Your Self-Help Guide to Inner Peace. Stephanie, if people want to buy your book or follow you on social media or learn more about you, how do they do that?
Yes, the book is available on Amazon. So you can just search the name. It'll come right up. And then connect with me on Instagram at Stephanie Rabilio, where I share daily inspiration.
Awesome.
This has been fantastic. Thank you so much, Stephanie, for taking the time to talk with us today.
Thank you all for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you so much there, Stephanie. Much appreciated. And you taking the time to sit with us and talk with us. But we're not done with Happy Hour just yet there, folks. Yes, as I've said numerous times in the past, that is a warning that we will be back. It's Jonna Spillbore. It is Carol Pesci. And we've got more of Happy Hour still to come in segment number 3. So please stick around.
Jonna and Carol on K104. It's Happy Hour.
Laugh more, stress less. It's Happy Hour with Jonna and Carol.
And welcome back to Happy Hour again, one more time here this morning with Jonna Spillbore and Carol Pesci. Hello, ladies.
Hello, Frankenberry.
Sorry.
Perfect. That was perfection.
You know, that's what I love about you there, Spillbore, especially when you two are off. It's always perfect. That was perfecto. You know, as you got, as you're doing like that little Italian lip kid, mwah, that was perfection.
You know? She was too, I think.
She probably was. Hey, thanks very much to Stephanie Rabilio for joining us this morning and talking to us about her new book.
She was fantastic. I am so glad we had a chance to talk with her. I think her approach and her wisdom, because she talks about this more in the book, about her own personal experience, can really have a profound impact on people.
Yeah, it's amazing what a little self awareness can do. But here's the thing. Most people don't, in the moment when you're feeling the stress or the guilt or the anger, whatever, you don't go, let me analyze myself right now. Hold the phone. Hang on. I'll be right back. Like, you know, you're having your moment and then it's days, hours, whatever, months, years later when you're like, huh, yeah, I wonder if. And that's why we got to get a little, if you could just be a little more present, we could kind of fix this as we go along in a weird way.
Well, I think also in our moment of frustration or aggravation or anger or whatever it is, we're not typically thinking it has anything to do with us.
Right. But while she was talking, I was going through a long list of ways my parents screwed me up, and I got a lot of work to do.
But I didn't get a chance to talk about your childhood trauma of piercing your own ears and passing out.
Oh, God.
Your father saying, you pass out one more time.
Hey, that worked.
It worked.
That kept me awake.
And that is why I shop at 3 a.m.
Oh, that's funny. She was really, really good. I enjoyed talking with her, and I hope more than one person listening will benefit from the wisdom that she shared.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure someone will. Yes,
we have to figure out one of these days, because I love what we have great guests all the time, and all the time I feel like our conversations are a little too short. Like we have to remind ourselves to get them back and follow up, because we could talk to her some more.
Yeah, I would love to have her back on. Yeah, definitely. Maybe could dive a little deeper. And then by that point, I will have read her whole book and bring up more from it.
Yes.
Okay, well, I think that about does it for us this morning. Unless, Johnny, you got any last minute drama to chuck in there before we're done?
Oh, please, Frankenberry.
I know. You're never about drama. I know. What the hell was I thinking?
I'll have some brand new drama next week.
Okay, I just wanted to check. Any previews? Can you see this stuff coming?
I don't. Oh, well, other than the cat situation, no. I can't see anything that's going to stress me out between now and next week.
Or whatever deliveries are going to show up on her front steps.
Yeah, that's right. She has completely forgotten everything she's ordered after, you know, at the 3 o'clock in the morning over the last month. Well, thank you again, Stephanie Rabilio, for joining us this morning. Much appreciated. And for Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci, I am Frankenberry. And we'll be back again next week. We do it every week here. I'm sure you probably know that. And hopefully you will return anyway. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to Happy Hour with Jonna Spilborg and Carol Pesci. More life advice, real conversation, and another awesome interview comes your way next Sunday at 7 a.m. to help you live better, stress less, and laugh more. Until then, catch this week's show and others at the Happy Hour link on K104online.com.